So welcome along to A Story to Tell with me, Richard Bovis. This is mainly taken from my radio bar show every Thursday morning from 10 until 12. If you do like it, don't forget to subscribe, share it to others, and let everyone know all about Radio Bath. Hope you enjoy it. Now, you can't see this, but Ollie is literally dancing away on Zoom. Good morning, Ollie.
Morning. I love that. Wake up, boo. It's a brilliant song.
It is a brilliant song. Do you know, I was trying to do the weirdest thing ever in that when we finished this interview. OK, so we've got about 15 minutes, I believe, haven't we?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
And when we finished this, I was like, right, what song can I play that's something to do with wine? And I was like looking down the system. I was like, I can't play UB40 Red Red Wine because he'll have heard that like 20 billion times. So I've gone down the strangest connection ever here. This is very, very loose. And that is Amy Winehouse and Tears Dry on Their Own.
It works. Amy Winehouse works for me because, I mean, the clue's in the name, right?
There you go. That's what I was thinking. So you're on here today to talk all about, let's do the promo bit first, all about P&O Cruises. For those that don't know, Ollie Smith, I'll read this out. He's a, and I'm going to read this out from your website, okay, a multi-award winning wine expert, TV personality, author, podcaster and columnist. How do you feel when people have to write this type of stuff? Well, I reckon you've done all of them.
I mean, I have. Yeah, they have appeared in my life. It's true. The thing that I love most about my life, though, is that wine has led me to meet so many people. You know, over a glass, you get to know people pretty well. And, you know, with a bit of food involved as well. I mean, I've always felt the great things in life are conviviality, enthusiasm, and really under the umbrella of hospitality, bringing people in for a glass and a good bit of nourishment. You know, it's that feeling that I absolutely adore. You know, you've all been to a brilliant restaurant and come away thinking, oh, that was just terrific. And it's that glow you get afterwards that just keeps me excited about it. Can't wait to share it with as many people as possible.
So what's happening with P&O then? Tell us all about that.
I'm relaunching the Glasshouse wine list. And so I've refreshed it. I've been thinking about this for years, to be honest, because we've had, you know, for those who don't know, the Glasshouse is a venue on board P&O Cruises, which I curate the wines for. I pick them out. I write the list. I train the staff. I pair all the wines with the dishes. Every wine is served by the glass, you know, in a beautiful setting with lovely views over the ocean. And I couldn't be more proud of it. But over the last few years, I've thought we need to get some new wines in there. So I've refreshed it. And we've got some firm favourites in there for all the people who know and love them. We've got celebratory bottles at the higher end, but the core for me is about cracking value for money from off the beaten track. So we've got some really nice wine from England, we've got some great wine from Romania, and some glorious wine also from Greece. And I've also expanded it to include no and low alcohol options as well, because I want everybody to be there, the whole family, right from the kids and the toddlers right up to the grandparents. Everybody is welcome. And if you're not a wine fan, we've got the no and low, we've got the ciders, we've got the beer, all of them paired with a brand new tapas menu from my good buddy Jose Pizarro, great Spanish chef with some cracking dishes on board.
Do you know what? I was in research for doing this little chat with yourself. I actually watched one of Jose's clips on YouTube and I was like, right, I've got to try and pronounce it correct. And I worked out there's no way I'm pronouncing it the way he does because he definitely rolls his R's, which I can do. Can you roll your R's?
He does.
Can you roll your R's? Because my wife can't roll her R's. She just goes, "Rrr."
That's quite cute. I can roll my R's, yes. Which, so, I don't know, that's going to sound very strange to people listening. If you've just tuned in, I'm just rolling my R's. That's all that's happening here.
Well, I was trying to do the worst Spanish accent in the world of going, Jose Pizarro. But then realizing,
not bad. I mean, Jose Pizarro is pretty much how he says it. But he's a guy, I've known him for years. And the thing I love about him is he's so down to earth. He's been cooking here in the UK for 25 years. And all of his restaurants have, you know, a sort of a sense of great ingredients done simply. But the thing that really excites me about working with him in the Glasshouse for P&O Cruises is he's so down to earth. He's super authentic and he loves people. So together, we just want to make people feel fantastic. And whenever I'm with him, I'm always kind of given a bit of a life lesson because he always just exudes the most incredible level of warmth. And we did a little event the other day where we were pairing the dishes and showing some journalists the pairings. And, you know, the food is great. Obviously, I'm very happy with the wine. But I just thought he himself, what an absolute gent he is. He just couldn't make more of an effort to make everybody around the table feel fab.
Do you know, I've interviewed a lot of people over the last few years here on Radio Bath. And I've interviewed some people that are very well known and some normal people as well. And what I've found out is that everybody's normal.
Yeah.
And that's really weird for me.
Do you know what? It's so refreshing, and it's true. Everybody is. We all love the same things. We all want to feel happy. We want to feel well. We want to be with our nearest and dearest. You know, we'd love a bit of a holiday every now and again. We're all after the same thing. And I totally agree with you. You know, people really are pretty much the same. You know, we really do connect on the basic level of life. So this is why I love doing my job, because, you know, whether you're a wine fan, a beer fan, cocktails, it doesn't matter to me. Even if it's, you know, somebody who doesn't drink, there's always something I can recommend that's going to bring us closer together.
Yeah. Now, you're talking just before we came on air about loving Bath, and we love Bath. We're very fortunate. I live right just outside of it. I'll be honest with you, you don't live in Bath unless you bought a house about 400 years ago. So that's the only way in which you can live in Bath.
Yeah, I can hear you. I love Bath. What a city. I was there just before Christmas promoting my latest book, and it was wonderful. I was at Toppings, and I did a show there. And it was, you know, the other gigs I did up and down the country were lovely. But I'm going to say Bath was my favourite, because everybody in there was just massively up for it. Everybody wanted to come in, have a few drinks, have a laugh. And we kind of barreled out into the night, and I had the best time. I love, obviously, the architecture is completely amazing. But the thing I always love when I come to Bath, and I don't know if this is something local people would agree with or not, but I feel really welcome. And I feel that everybody there, there's a kind of sense of adventure in the air. People are up for stuff, it seems to me. And I may have got completely the wrong end of the stick, but whenever I've been in Bath, I found the food and drink amazing. Pubs are absolutely brilliant. There was that lovely cocktail bar just near Toppings as well. Can't remember the name of it, of course, now, but it was sensational, down in a basement. Oh, it was brilliant. Everything about Bath that I've ever experienced gets a full tick in the box from me.
Do you know what I love about Bath myself is that it's a very small, intimate city. You know, there's only one city centre, and everything is in that city centre. You can walk to everywhere when you come into the centre of Bath, and therefore it's very, very kind of insular in that regards.
Yeah, the walkability is amazing, and I do genuinely feel inspired. I mean, I live quite near Lewes in East Sussex, which is another lovely little town. But the city of Bath, whenever I walk around it, it's the architecture is obviously amazing, but it's that sense of there's something slightly alternative in the air, that people are exploratory. And that, again, I find really inspiring. So every time I come to Bath, I do always, my wife will tell you this, I always say, why don't we live in Bath? And she's like, oh, for goodness sakes, because we live in Sussex, we've got kids there, we've got our life there, we've got our work. We'll probably live in Bath one day. So you've been warned, Bath, I'm coming for you.
There's a lot of famous people that do live in Bath.
Really?
Yeah, loads and loads and loads. So
give me the greatest hits. Who do people really love?
Tears for Fears. So Roland,
no way.
Yeah, they live here. They have done for a long, long time. And you're going to put me on the spot now and think of many others, but they're going to completely go out of my mind right now.
Tears for Fears nails it for me. I'm all over that. That's another big tick in the box for Bath.
And you know what? I love the Bath Forum as well, which it's a really unusual venue in that it's big, but it's small at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's a fantastic place to watch anything. I've watched many dance things there, but also to see some bands there as well. So you feel intimate. Yeah. Now, I'm going to ask you some questions, which no doubt you've been asked some of these before. And I'm going to hope that I'm going to get to a question that you've never been asked before. OK, so that's my plan. OK, so first question that I have for you is, I like red wine. OK.
Yes.
I go into the supermarket and I look up and I go, they're the ones I'd like, but I can't be asked to spend 20, 25 quid on a bottle of wine, okay? Because I can't justify it in my world that I live in. I look down, I think, I don't want those ones because they're too cheap. Okay, so you look in the middle. That's generally what most people do. Am I correct in that?
Absolutely, okay. Yeah. People look to about, I'd say the sweet spot at the moment is around $8.99.
Yep.
The own label ranges in, you know, places like Sainsbury's, M&S, you know, Aldi's got some great value, Lidl actually as well. I was at the Waitrose press tasting yesterday. They've got some crackers as well.
Yep. So I still get overwhelmed. And I actually was in Tesco. Other terrible supermarkets are also available. And I literally looked across the scene and thought, do you know, I still haven't found that bottle of wine that suits me. I still don't know whether I'm going Shiraz, Malbec, Cabernet Sauvignon. I don't know. So help me, Ollie. How can I make a choice?
I will. So if you like a red wine and you're shopping in Tesco, there is one in the Tesco Finest range that should be about £8.50 called Tesco's Piumo Carmenere from Chile. And Carmenere is their signature grape. So, you know, if you've enjoyed a Shiraz or a Malbec, it has a similar sort of background spicy crackle, like somebody's ground a bit of black pepper in the background. But it's ever so slightly lighter. So it's almost somewhere between a Malbec and a Rioja.
Okay.
So it's got a little bit of savoury character, not too heavy, but it's one of the most amazing own-label red wines I've come across. Year in, year out, it delivers the goods. So Piumo Carmenere would be the one I would say to go for. If you're after a white wine,
yeah.
I tasted an absolutely beautiful one yesterday from Waitrose. Bit off the beaten track. So it's called Waitrose Loved and Found Gelber Muscatella from Austria. Now, it's a new one on me. I hadn't heard of the Gelber Muscatella before, but it's amazing. And it costs $8.99, really scented white wine. So you smell it, you think, oh my word, is this going to be sweet? Not a bit of it. Fragrant as a rose, dazzling as a comet. Totally amazing summertime sipper for your fridge.
I will get both of those. This is being recorded. I'll make it as a little podcast, by the way, for people to have a little listen back to. And yeah, I will literally buy those at the weekend and drink them. Now,
please do, and let me know how you get on as well.
I will do. Now, you have the scenario a lot as a wine taster of just sipping and then spitting it back out. I'm guessing you have to do that a lot. Have you had the scenario where you've sipped it and thought, you know what, that's amazing. I now just want to drink it all, but it's too polite a situation to do it.
Do you know what? It can happen. And sometimes I've seen it happen with wine tasters at kind of professional tastings where there is such a wine that is such a prize and is so beautiful that they will actually swallow a little bit of it. And it's kind of almost a real honour for the wine grower or the person presenting if you do that. That would normally happen towards the end of a tasting because you want to make sure you're mentally really sharp and you're still analysing things correctly. But I have seen it done. And actually, yesterday at some of the press tastings I was at, what I love is they're including much more no and low alcohol sections because after you've done a lot of wine tasting, you know, and you've been doing a lot of spitting, it's a real relief to get to the no and low and zero alcohol. You can actually drink that and they're refreshing, they're interesting, and you get a real kind of experiential moment because spitting's fine, you know, and I can evaluate the wine. But of course, there's a bit of me that's thinking, oh, wouldn't it be nice just to kick back, you know, with a good mate, find a picnic table somewhere, you know, grab a pork pie and have a glass of this rosé together. But, you know, you've got to stay professional and keep your analytical head on. You've got to keep at the forefront of my mind, what I do, is to make sure I'm thinking of who is this for? You know, what price is this? Is it a fair price? Would I buy it myself and put my own money down? Those are all the questions I'm asking myself whenever I'm evaluating those wines. But I've got to say, I absolutely love my job. What a lucky man I am.
So you literally stick different hats on. So when you're at a wine tasting, you will do, I'm not drinking anything and therefore I'm spitting it all out and that's fine. However, when you were doing your podcast, which you did, I think, 86 episodes of.
You
drank a few bits of wine then, I believe. I was listening to the Phil Tufner one. Okay, so we're going to move on to cricket quickly.
Phil Tufner's great.
Yeah.
So Tufner's was going on to, I don't know if you remember, but if you haven't heard the podcast, Tufner's and I were doing an interview before he was going off to commentate on a 100 match. So it was a short format cricket match. And it was relatively new at the time. And he was promoting his own wine. It was really good, actually. We had a nice glass of his wine, but he drank quite a lot of it. You know, I was, you know, enjoying a glass. But the idea of the podcast is people loosen up after a couple of glasses and you get sort of the meat and potatoes of their life, which is always great fun. Tufner's, though, I'll never forget this. I asked him about the 100. I said, I find it all a bit baffling, Tufners. I'm much more of a long format. I love my test cricket. And he just looked at me and on the show, he actually said, yeah, I've no idea how it works either, mate. I'm just literally there following by my coattails. I don't know what's going on. And I thought, what a lovely bloke just to be so, so absolutely honest about it. But maybe it was the glass of wine that loosened him up a bit to reveal that.
The cat. I was waiting for him to say as well, because he's known as the cat. His nickname is the cat. There are a variety of reasons why he's been called that, but some of those aren't broadcastable. And you said at one point, you know, you always seem to land on your feet depending on what goes wrong. And I was like waiting for him to say, ah, that's why my nickname's the cat. But he never did. I was that disappointed moment.
He never did. But I think one of the things I really like about him is just he's very kind of good fun. He's very welcoming and warm. He's also quite self-deprecating, you know, that kind of lend us your brain tough as we're building an idiot line that he trots out all the time that one of the people in the crowd once said to him in Australia. But it's such a lovely thing that he takes delight in the whole spirit of cricket, you know, in the joshing and the banter and doesn't take himself too seriously. And yet was a world-class player, an absolute legend.
And again, just going back, we're going proper cricket moment here, Badger time, I'm afraid. If Phil Tufnell had been around now, he would have got probably double the amount of wickets due to the DRS system.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. And you've got a feel for those players because, you know, DRS has brought, which is, you know, when they kind of review the decisions, it's that moment when your heart's in your mouth, but you do realise, you know, umpires, just like the rest of us, you know, they're only human and they do make mistakes. And sometimes, you know, you can watch a whole test match and that one umpire will just have a terrible, terrible, terrible yeah. time and make repeatedly awful decisions. And back in the day, you've got to extrapolate that and think, goodness me, I mean, some of the results probably wouldn't stand. And it's part of the thrill of the game. You've got to accept what the umpire says in the old days. It's part of the reason I love it, that everybody does. It's the spirit of it.
Yep.
But yeah, DRS, it would have changed Tuffer's life.
And just very quickly, what's your thoughts on Bazball then?
Bazball, I think I'm coming to the moment where I'm slightly wondering if it is indeed the best policy. I've found it very entertaining and I've really enjoyed it thus far. But I think you've got to look at the kind of, you know, does it build the mood that builds on confidence? Does it actually result in a team evolving, growing, developing, as well as delivering very entertaining cricket? If the two things happen, I'm more than happy, but I'm a bit concerned that things have just maybe travelled a little too far in the Bazball direction. But I'm happy to be corrected this summer. Let's see.
Well, they have easier opposition this summer. Going to India is never an easy thing to do. And they did go to Pakistan and win 3-0 doing Bazball. So that was slightly, you know, unusual. But we will find out what's happening. We are running out of time because I'm aware you've got many, many interviews to do today. Just remind us again why you're on here, Ollie.
I'm here to launch my brand new Glasshouse Wine List with P&O Cruises, and you can find out more at the website, which is pocruises.com. All the dates that I'm travelling should be in there if you type my name in. And if I can pour anybody listening a glass of wine on board and just make your day a little bit brighter, it would be an absolute honour.
It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on Radio Bath. Thank you very much.
Likewise. Great speaking to you as always. Cheers.
Cheers.
All I can ever be to you is the darkness that we know, and this regret I got accustomed to. Once was the ride when we were at our height, waiting for you in the hotel at night. I knew I had him at my match, but every moment we get snatched, I don't know why I got so attached.